People of God, the Lord be with you. About 7 years ago, my wife and I moved to Ethiopia for 1 year, and I remember the night we arrived. We were at the airport, and we were trying to meet someone who was going to pick us up, and we couldn't find them, and we were trying to communicate with people, and I remember feeling lost in this new place. We finally found the guy picking us up. And I remember so clearly the drive to their home through the city streets. I remember the smell in the air of charcoal fires at night. I noticed the kind of cars that were driven, the sounds of the city. I remember that night so clearly, noticing the details. Have you ever been to a new city or a new place and for your first time, you just notice everything, the details. Maybe when you first came to America, did you just pay attention carefully to this strange new world? You were a stranger in this strange new world, and you could just notice everything that was different. I see some laughter. Paul arrives in Athens as a stranger. It's his first time in this great and glorious city. He's heard of this city, the home of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, this great and glorious city of Western civilization. And Paul arrives as a stranger, so he's paying attention to everything he sees. He's looking for the wisdom he's heard about in this city. But Paul's disappointed. It's been 300 years since the days of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. Paul doesn't find so much wisdom here. He finds superstition. Everywhere he goes on the streets, he sees another idol, another altar, another statue. Paul is disappointed in what he sees, but he pays careful attention because he comes with a purpose. He comes with a mission to share the good news of Jesus and the resurrection in this city. I want you to just come with me as we walk through Athens with Paul. He begins walking the streets, and he sees idol after idol. And then where does he go next? You remember? Where's his first stop? The synagogue. Paul goes to the synagogue. The synagogue is the house of worship for Jewish people. And these are Jewish refugees from the diaspora who now live in Athens. And there are Greek converts to Judaism, and they worship together in the synagogue. So the synagogue is it's a safe place. It's a safe place for God's people. They're reminded of who they are. They hear the old, old words of Scripture. And in a way, they're protected from the pagan city of Athens. It's a safe home for them. And yet, they need a word that Paul has to bring. They need to hear about Jesus. So Paul brings Jesus into that place in the synagogue, and he speaks words of new life and resurrection in the synagogue. And then where does Paul go next? Remember? Yeah, to the marketplace. He goes to Meijer Grocery Store, and it's a gathering of the city, right? This is where everyone goes. There are things being sold, there are people buying things, there's noise everywhere and smells. It's the heart of the city. There's life here and movement. It's where the latest news is shared and all the gossip is whispered. It's where new ideas are discussed. And this place of busyness, this place of movement, it needs the message that Paul brings. It needs Jesus. So Paul shares Jesus with anyone who will listen. He wants to talk about the resurrection with anyone who will hear. And one day at the marketplace, there are some philosophers, some wise men, and Paul speaks with them about Jesus. And they go back and forth trying to understand what Paul is saying, this strange man with this strange message about this strange Jesus who rose from the dead. And they want to put Paul's ideas to the test. If there's something here, we need to take you where? Where do they take him? The Areopagus. What is that? It's the high court of Athens. It's the place where the wisest people in the city gather together and they judge ideas and people. And so Paul comes to this high court, and he is judged by the wise men of the city. They listen to his strange ideas about Jesus. And Paul brings Jesus into that place, and he speaks words of resurrection in the courthouse. So from the streets into the synagogue, from the synagogue into the marketplace, from the marketplace to the courtroom. Paul is a stranger in each of these places. And he brings a strange message. And the people aren't sure what to think. This message about Jesus rising from the dead. What would you think if a stranger came into your life and paid careful attention to everything they saw and watched what you did, and they took notes and they said, here's what I'm noticing, and let me tell you, here's what's missing. How would you react? Let's imagine this together. Let's imagine one day you're at home and there's a knock on the door. You open the door and there's a strange woman standing there. You've never seen her before, and you can tell she isn't a local. She's not from around here. But you can't quite tell where she's from. Somehow she speaks perfect English, though. And she says, my name is Numa. I'm new here. But she's not a tourist. She hasn't come to your city to see the sights. She's come for a mission, a research mission to study your life. She comes with notebooks in hand, and she wants to follow you around to watch what you do, how you behave. She wants to see what you do on your way to work, when you come to church, what you do at the grocery store. She wants to observe your life carefully. And at this point, you want to slam the door and run away. Who is this strange woman? But there's something about her, the way she sees you. It's like she already knows who you are, and you feel like you can't run or hide. And so you let Numa come into your life and follow you around for 1 month. And at the end of that month, you sit down together and she takes out her stack of notebooks and all the notes she's written down. And she tells you what she's noticed, what she sees in your life. And she says, friend, I see you're trying very hard. Very, very hard to do the right thing, to live a good life. But there's something you're missing. There's something you're missing. When I first read this story of Paul in Athens, I wanted to relate to Paul. I wanted to be the missionary who goes to the lost city, the fading glory of Athens, and speak about Jesus. But as I sat with this story, I realized I wasn't so much Paul as I was the city of Athens. I realized that my life has its fair share of idols. It has its synagogue of safety. It has its marketplace of busyness and noise. It has its courthouse where I sit in the judge's seat. What about your life? Do you have your fair share of idols? The things you put your trust in? The things you place your hope in? Where is your confidence? Is it in your education? Is it in your bank account? Is it in how good your English is? If only I could speak perfect English, then I would be okay. If only I had the wisdom to know what to do, then I would be okay. If I had that one thing, that's what I desire most. If only. But Paul goes to the place of idols, and he speaks words of resurrection. He speaks words of resurrection. Friends, we need Jesus to come into that place of idols and topple those idols. We need Jesus to sit on the throne of our lives. Each of our hearts also has its synagogue, that place of safety, a good place where we remember good and true things, but a place that can become so protected, so safe, where we're not open to anything new, we don't want to listen to other people, but we're so safe on our own. Jesus needs to come into that place. Because there's a new word for us, a word of new life, a word of resurrection. Jesus needs to come into the synagogue of our heart and bring new life. We need the freedom of Christ. We need the humility of Christ because we can become so self-righteous, so self-confident. And Jesus needs to come into our marketplace. Oh, that place of movement and busyness and noise. Does it ever feel like your whole life is a marketplace? So much happening. Do you go to that place to distract yourself? To forget about the world around you? Jesus needs to come into our marketplace and speak words of peace. Be still, be still. We need resurrection in our marketplace to hear the voice of Jesus. We also need Jesus to come into our courtroom where we sit on the judge's seat, where we get to decide what we think is true and false, what we want to keep and what we want to let go. We need Jesus in that place to sit on the judge's seat, not us. We need Jesus to bring resurrection life in the courtroom of our hearts. T.S. Eliot was a poet, and he wrote Choruses from the Rock. And in that poem, he says this: "There is one who remembers the way to your door. O my soul, be ready for the coming of the stranger. Be prepared for him who knows how to ask questions." Do you know who T.S. Eliot is talking about? Who is the stranger who comes? It's unsettling to think that There is someone who knows our lives so well, who knows the door to our hearts. There is someone who sees into the synagogue of our hearts, who sees our busy, distracted life, who sees our judgments of others, who sees our pride and self-righteousness, who sees the things we put our hope and our trust in that are less than God. There is a stranger who knows the way to our heart. So should we be afraid? Should we slam the door and run away? Should we hide? Did you notice how Paul ends his sermon at the Areopagus? Look at verse 31. On page 1177, it's at the top. Paul says this, God has set a day when he will judge the world fairly. He has appointed a man to be its judge. God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. Jesus is the judge. Jesus, the one who stood before Pontius Pilate, the innocent one who was condemned to death, the innocent one who suffered for us. This is our judge, the judge who took all the punishment on himself for us. Should we be afraid of this judge? This judge was raised from the dead. The final word from Paul is not condemnation. It is not death. It is not fear. The final word is resurrection. The last word is resurrection, friends. And what does the resurrected Jesus speak when he sees his disciples for the first time? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be in this room hiding from the world out there. Jesus comes with life and hope and peace. At the end of this story, there are two funny names. Do you remember the names? Dionysius and Damaris. These strange names. Why would Luke include these people in the story? These two people from Athens, why do they matter? Why do they matter? Well, we learn that they don't laugh at Paul's message. They don't run and hide, but they say yes to this stranger. They welcome this stranger named Paul, and they welcome into their life the stranger Jesus. Because when they meet this Jesus, they feel a peace they have not known before. They feel a hope they have not known. They feel a freedom they have not known. And these people of Athens feel more at home in their city than they've ever felt before because this stranger Jesus has come to be with them. Friends, Dionysus and Damaris, they remind us that there is new life. They remind us that resurrection has the final word. They remind us that people like you and me, that our lives can change. That Jesus can bring change in our lives. Jesus can bring resurrection. Jesus can bring growth. We can move toward God more closely today than we were yesterday. So friends, remember the final word. The final word is resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.